visitors. Let's give our visitors a warm welcome this morning. Come on, praise you. Thank you. See, God is getting ready to build his temple. In the presence of us now, God is doing a wonderful work. And it's very important that we emanate and show forth love. Love is so important right now. And we must love one another as Christ has loved us. For the Bible says that love worketh no ill towards its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And we praise you for that. I thank God for the word. Thank God for Pastor as he's out. And on behalf of the pastor, Bob and Jareen, we continually pray for them as they're on their travels. Amen. So let's get into the word of God this morning. How many is ready for the word? Amen. Well, where the word came, it first came to me. And when God gave me this word, I was like, okay, what am I missing? See, I don't want us to understand that Russell Spencer, he's got it all together. Okay? Some people walk around like the scribes and Sadducees, that they got it all together. What the Lord wants to know today is your house in order? I want you to hear what God is saying very clearly today. He asked me the question first. Russell, is your house in order? Lord, I praise you. I offer my tithes and offering. But he only asked me, is my house in order? So let's talk about this. I'm going to be reading a passage of scripture of introduction. It comes out of Colossians. The first chapter, starting at the 12th verse, and I'm going to be reading the Amplified Version. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of saints, God's holy people, in the light the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood. I want to say that one more time. In whom we have our redemption through his blood. See, that alone classifies his deity. There's no one else, not Krishna, not Muhammad, not Buddha, that has the redemptive blood. Which means the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was him, Christ Jesus, that all things were created in heaven and on earth. Things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and existed through him. By his service and intervention, and in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist. They cohere and are held together by him. He is also the head of his body. See, this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the body, both in the natural sense and in the spiritual sense. All right? And he himself is the head of the body of the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, so that he alone is everything. And in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it says, for it has pleased the Father that all divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him. And I just skipped over because I wanted to add Colossians 2:9, which says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Are you with me? We're talking about Jesus. And God purposed that through, by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to him. Whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father made peace by means of the blood of the cross. And although you at one time, here we go, were estranged and alienated from him, there was a time that we were away from him. We didn't want to know him. But he what? Reconciled us by the blood of the redemption of his blood back to him. And we're hostile attitude. That's what we had in the mind. We had wicked activities. But thank God for Jesus. And as I'm ending in here, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless. See, we don't have an excuse. If Christ did all of that, hung and died on the cross to present us, me, faultless before God, and I don't have the audacity to come to church. See, I'm ready to preach it now. And give him glory and praise him and thank him in a cruel, sinful world. My house is not in order. God wants his house in order. Are you with me today? As I, in my studies here, as we draw nearer to the coming of Christ, to Christ's imminent return, oh yes, he is the soon coming King. We just read out of all the Colossians and in that first chapter that he is the creator of all things. See, man got it twisted. They think they, with all the big, whatever you want to call it, they think they got it made. I'm talking about the heavy hitters. With all the great empires, I don't have to name names. You know them. But they don't have it. The creator of all things is, was, and is to come is Christ Jesus. But see, he wants to create something else new within our heart and mind. Our sole priority is to be ready. The question is, are you ready or not? Matthew 24, verse 44 says, therefore, be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man shall come. Yes, he shall come. You see, getting ready is far more different than being ready. I can get ready in the morning. If someone is waiting on me, I have to what? Be ready. The question is, are you ready? How many today are still saying, well, I'm trying to get ready. But there are some issues that I'm going through. I'm trying to get there. God is saying, come to me. Jesus is saying, come, get your house in order. This is the word of the Lord today, that our house, our temple, must be in order. From the parable of the 10 virgins, according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, first verse, of the parable of the wise and foolish, we see that five were ready and five were not ready. But who do you think got a chance to see the bridegroom when he came? Come on, talk to me. Only the ones, those that are prepared to meet the Savior in the air when he returns. In fact, I'm talking about everyone in here today, because we all love Christ. But as a reminder today, that God wants your house in order. He wants my house in order. I remember when I got married. Thank God for my beautiful wife. We celebrated 21 years of marriage October the 26th. Yes, baby, I got it right. I wanted to be ready. I got my suit. I was looking good. But more importantly, it wasn't about us. It was about the women. It was about my wife. She was ready in preparation for the bridegroom. That was me. Amen? Now, for those, and this is not to put to light any wrong situation, but to bring to light that those that may be here today, if you don't have your house in order, and you're with your significant other, God is saying today that you must get your house in order in preparation that you may join in the unity of faith with me. See, God doesn't honor disobedience, and he does not honor foolishness. But a house of order, applying it to the will of God, God will bless and bring forth fruitfulness. So as we are preparing our heart and minds, let's be reminded that we are to get our house in order. God's desire and has always been that he may dwell with men. This has always been God's intent, that he dwell with men. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? He dwelled with them. He came down and talked with them. Isn't that awesome? In the cool of the day, you know, we're paraphrasing on the scriptures. But God has always desired to dwell. But then something happened. Man disobeyed. Something went wrong. And there's one thing about God I love so much and awesome because of who he is. See, God don't need a plan. It's not like God is sitting up there, oh, let me think about this. Or let me figure it out. Let me understand what I need to do. See, no, God ain't like that. God always have a purpose. See, and his purpose in mind is to dwell with men. So after we have read in Colossians the awesomeness of what Christ have done, he sent the beloved Son, the first begotten. That as he redeemed us back to him, he brought us closer back to God. Did you get what we're saying? God is a God of order. I don't care what people say or what they think or what kind of life you think you want to live. God wants order. God wants order in your house. He wants order in the church. He wants order in the White House. He wants order in the courthouse. He wants order. Speaking of a courthouse, that's what the judge does when things are out of order. He take his, what do you call that thing, that mallet? Bang, bang, bang. Order in the house. Order in the house. And then everything calms down. In alignment with God. This is God's purpose for us. And as we are finding ourselves closer to Him, we find that we find our house becoming a be in order. Amen? Am I helping someone today? Are we coming into the unity of the faith? You see, it's within man's heart and soul that Jesus wants to come and dwell and make His habitation. And as we're speaking about house, the word house, whether it's Greek or Hebrew, simply means Beth. Okay, and I know that there are some scholars out there. Amen. House really means Beth. Beth is associated with the following biblical meanings, such as Bethel, or house of God, or Bethlehem, house of bread. Christ being born in Bethlehem, or the house of bread, came to satisfy what? Our spiritual hunger. See, our spiritual hunger, we need something far more greater than what we think. And only a divine preeminent presence of the Holy God can provide that for us. Bread is used to connect, to identify us with common man. We can say things in the modern sense. Whataburger. Anything dealing with bread, you know, it has to associate with food. That's one of the things that we are so closely connected with is food. So in order to identify man and his common, he connected it with bread or belt. The Word of God says in John 6:35 that Jesus said, I am the what? The bread of life. He that cometh to me should never hunger. Never hunger. Never hunger. How unfortunate that the day that we're living in the modern world society, where we have all our electronic T-Mobiles and Sprints and all the technology. We have all the food, but there are so many people that are still starving. It's a shame that the world has not got the common sense to come in order with God, to supply the need to those that do need, if you have it. That means if God has richly blessed you, it's not for you yourself. No. That's wrong. If God bless you with an abundance, your need is to seek out those that need help, that you may be a blessing in their life. That's order. You remember what the scripture says? Man has so much money, put it all away. His life was gone right there. Help somebody that's in need. Let's get our house in order. See, one of our problems is we're thinking about me, myself, and I, my family, nobody else. Lord, I'm going to send you $10. Here you go. One of the blessings, and I thank God for Sister Carrie mentioning about tithes and offering. It's a blessing to give. I'm telling you the truth. God loves a cheerful giver. I love what David said. He said, I was young, but now I'm old. And he said, what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor beg and bled. Now, come on. You got to look at this in an amplified meaning. He said, I was young. He didn't have to say how young he was. He just experienced it. He experienced it when he was young. And then when he became a man, through all the years, he still experienced how the richness and the blessings of God would overtake you by being obedient to give unto the house of God. It is truly a blessing. God says, try them anyway. Problem is that some people can't let go. It's hard to let go of that dollar. I used to be like that. I sure did. I have $50 in my pocket and give two. If I gave that sometime, I'm being honest with you. It's one thing about a minister, I'm going to be truthful with you because I'm held accountable. Giving is so powerful. You can give your way out of anything. When the time comes, God said, I will rebuke the devourer. Something's trying to take you out. God going to step in and he's going to. Are you with me? Man, I'm trying to get to where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. God wants order. And I'm going to get to the meat of it to help associate us in the relationship with the body. We want to look at some characteristics dealing with the body and the body of Christ. And Brother Cedric, if you can put that up there for me, please. Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that one. Many of you know what this is. Some of you may not. And we're going to just talk a little about what this label represents. We're going to take this label and represent it from a natural use to its spiritual use. Okay? Those in a manufacturing facility or in many places know that this is an HMIS label. Okay? HMIS, Hazardous Material Identification Label. This is what this is. I'm not going to get deep, but I want to hit the right points. It has four parts, colored labels, that uses numbers, letters, symbols, and describes hazard projects or just hazardous. There you go. It's the hazardous product. Amen. We're going to relate this in a natural. Okay, a natural approach for spiritual understanding. Focusing primarily on the body. We're talking about getting the house in order. And if Christ dwells within me, this house must be in order. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will not dwell in an unclean temple. It won't do it. You won't be effective. While you're trying to climb up higher and you want to come, Lord, I love you, but you're still doing these things that are contaminating the body. Or you're drinking. I'm just going to be real with you because some people do those things. God's saying, get your house in order that I may come in and dwell with you and show you some power. All right. The very first one we're going to talk about is what? Come on, y'all can talk with me. Health. Health. Oh, my God, boy. I tell you, man, this health is something else. Because you look at the nation today, I think they said there was about almost 10,000, maybe 9,700 health clinics around. As we're providing like to 12 million people health benefits and insurance throughout the last 20 years or so, however you want to count, health has been a big issue for many of us. Many of us are sick. Many of us need help. Health is a big issue. And as we relate this to health, one of the things I was thinking about is it's been said that milk does the body good. You ever heard that? And that's a very true statement. Milk is good. It provides great vitamin D for the bones and structure. That's good. It's on the basic five group for the vegetables, the poultry. Well, milk is there. The Bible says that God has made all things good. Let's turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, third verse. I'm just going to read real quick. It says, I'm going to start at verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of who? God and Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Oh, man, how many want glory to rain down on their lives, walking in the virtue of God's anointing? And in order for us to get there, people, God wants to line your house in order. You've got to be in alignment with him. Because how can you get something if you're not faithful over all that which you have that God has given? Praise the Lord. So health is very important. It is great for the nourishment. But we're talking about the word of God here. Amen? So that milk won't be able to help sustain me for my spiritual outlook. There's a come a time where I can't receive the milk anymore. I need the meat. We're talking about the word of God. You need the meat. I've heard it says, where's the beef? I need the meat of the God, the meat of the word of God to help sustain my spiritual outcome. Thank you so much, honey. I was actually looking for my ones. I couldn't find them. Yeah, thank you. Milk will not help. It will help you in your natural because God made milk. It's good for the bones, good for the teeth, hair, and everything else. But when it comes to the word of God, you're going to have to apply yourself daily, meditating, seeking God, having the instructions of his will to pour down. That means you got to separate yourself from these worldly attributes. Because too many of us are texting. I mean, we're talking a lot, but we're talking in the wrong format. You need the meat. We need the meat. The Bible says, according to Hebrews 5th chapter, the 13th verse, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. I once was a babe. Now that I became a man, the Bible says that we should put away those childish things. See, if you can't put away those things, your house is not in order. It's not in order. You can fool some of the people, some of the time. But you can't fool God. Because God knows the intent and the heart of man. But God has his spirit that dwells in man. And by the word of knowledge, and by the word of the precepts and understanding of word of knowledge, God will reveal to a person something about a person. See, that's when a person, an individual, is operating in the Spirit of God. Well, how did you know that, brother or sister? We hear it. God revealed that. And you know how he did that? That person has their house in order to able to receive from the master that which he needs for his people within that hour. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about health. So what are we going to do about our health? What can we do about it? John said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be in health, even as thy soul prosper. What is your attitude about your health? I heard one guy tell me, man, every morning I get, he had a 2-liter Coke and 14 tacos. I'm like, that's not healthy, brother. A 2-liter diet, whatever, or a Coke and all these tacos or whatever. Hey, man, that's not healthy for your body. You know, grease is one of the things that can clog up the arteries. Grease. That's just one of the things. So what are we doing? What are we doing to attribute our attitude towards our health? As an acronym of the word attitude, God help me with adjusting my thoughts to implement truth, understanding, development, and empowerment. See, that's what attitude is. You're adjusting your thoughts to the truth of God. We're talking about only the Word of God. That's an attitude. I'm going to adjust my thoughts to implement the truth, the understanding, then the development, and the power, empowerment, so I can help empower not only myself, but others too. Towards the kingdom. Is your body healthy? What's causing it to grow? What's causing it not to grow? You can look at that both in your spiritual and the body of Christ. I believe that there should be a vision, not only for my body, I want a vision for my body, a vision for the body, in order for me to have the right mainframe. I thank God for my wife, always wanted to buy the best. All these ingredients and no salt and things that are natural and based on good health conscience. Praise the Lord. What are you doing for the body? Is it functional? A spiritual, healthy church is a body that is one. Are you with me? A spiritual, healthy body. Fully functional by the operation of the Holy Spirit of God. How do you protect your body? See, there are many health, and I'm going to move quickly. How do you protect your body? We look at Sutherland. Have mercy on the families and many others that suffer cruelly by the work of the enemy that came to kill, steal, and destroy their lives. I remember specifically, honey, that we were in a connection group about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and I said that, you know, it won't be long that many churches probably put up metal detectors and govern those that are coming in. See, everybody that comes in the house of God ain't seeking God. I'm going to be real with you. Didn't that just happen to Sutherland and many other places? So we can think that people are what we think they are, but we cannot be naive to the fact that the devil is a roaming lion. I believe that the leaders, and this is me speaking, should be able to appoint those that are in an office place and have watchmen. Come on, man. This is a real world. We come to the house of God to praise, to lift, to exhort, to help, to heal, to do those things that are required by God. Then here comes the devil. No, not on my watch. No. So what are we doing to protect your body in the body of Christ? These are questions that God will have us to go back with and to examine. It says that If there's any leaven in the lump, it needs to come out. Amen. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So now that in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray against those things. We pray against the spirit of adultery and witchcraft, Jezebel spirits, spirits of homosexuality, fornication, spirits of deception. Lord, we pray against those things, oh God, because they are no more than leaven in the church. That's all. Those leaven has to be gone and out of the house of God. God, Jesus, what? He kicked over the money table. He said, my house is a house of prayer. So, Father, right now we loosen order in the house of God. Father, we loose order in this place. Loose order in my house, oh God. Lord, we loose holiness, true praise and worship. Lord, we loose unity and love in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that it may rain down in this place and in the house of God. Unity of the faith. And we bind those spirits. Are you a soldier for Christ? Do you have your weapons or armor? I'm getting too ahead of myself. Let me move on to flammability. Flammability is the second one. Did he have it back up there? Thank you. Flammability is the ability of a substance to burn or ignite, causing a fire. It's easy to set on fire. Are you on fire for God? Hallelujah. How easy are you on fire for God when you hear the word of God? Or do you just run back somewhere? No, I ain't got time for that right now. I got to go, brother. I got to tell you. Are you on fire for God, really? Are you really on fire for God? Come on, because it'll show in your walk. It'll show in your talk. It'll show when you're at the grocery store. It'll show when you're in the house of God. You'll be able to stand up and praise God and not timid about the things of God. Oh, you got to know, are you really on fire for God? See, I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. Is the church on fire?